She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Our Mirrors Reflections with Andrea Jackson. We have an amazing guest today, Rika, life coach, speaker, upcoming author, podcaster, an inspirational woman, a rock star that's out here giving women the truth. I am so excited. I feel so honored that you have come on to the podcast to chat with me.
Nah, Andrea, it is the pleasure is mine. I'm honored that you would have me on your platform off of the strength of a connection that we have the same.
Yeah.
So I'm honored to be here. And I love how you threw author in there. It's putting that fire up my
I know it's coming. So it's coming if you want.
I got the editing process is so annoying.
Isn't it crazy and stressful?
Yeah. Like, oh, I got to finish this. So, but I'm excited for that book. I definitely hope, God willing, it will be out by June, which is my birthday month. So it'll be like a birthday party. And this is my dog, Champ, by the way.
Hi, Champ. My dog downstairs. Thor is downstairs.
I have a Thor, too.
I have a Thor, too.
Yeah. 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 Shout out to you if you're an Avengers fan. Avengers? All day.
You know what? I mean, I'm telling a little fib. It's really not my dog. It's my daughter's dog and her girlfriend, but it's like my grandbaby.
Yeah. But that's okay. It lives in the house with you, so it's your dog too.
Exactly. So I want to get into it. I want to get into you. I want to get into the work that you're doing, the work that you're doing for women. I mean, I've watched you speak and I'm so taken back because it's so relatable. It's so chill and down to earth and raw. And that's what I love about you as a speaker. I mean, when you're speaking, I find myself like, whoa, thinking back, thinking about now, thinking about choices. And I just want to know, I want you to tell us a little bit about you, how you got started in the business, you know, where you're headed, you know, what is your ideal client look like?
Right. So I'll just start with how I got started in my business. It's always like funny when people ask you, tell me about you. It's like, where do you start? The day I was born or what? I don't know. but I am from Seattle. If anybody wants to know that, go Hawks.
Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And my business actually came. Okay. Here we go. Here's the story. I just got to bring it up again.
Yeah.
So my business, it comes from my own personal experience when it comes to dating and being in the revolving door of dysfunctional relationships. So in 2017, actually right around my birthday, my abusive ex, after 2 years, finally broke up with me. And when I say finally, I had been wanting to do it. I knew that I needed to do it. I knew that he wasn't the man for me the first week into our relationship. I was praying to God. I didn't know how to get out. And at that moment, I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't woman enough to walk away. because I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the thoughts that were running through my mind during that relationship was, well, if I leave him, who's going to take care of him? I don't want to be single, because at that time I was 33. And being single in this society is the worst thing to be, right? Which is unfortunate.
So they say,
right? Of course. Yes. Throw all the sarcasm on that statement, because, you know, society unfortunately teaches us as little girls that the goal in life is to grow up, get married, have your kids and your white picket fence, and then you have made it. And at the time that we're recording this podcast, I actually, on my podcast, will be having a conversation with my pastor. And the conversation is going to be about what I wish the church taught single women. Because in my experience, there wasn't enough emphasis on learning what your purpose is and your single life. So anyway, so yeah, I have that relationship was emotionally abusive. Another thing that we learned growing up, we learned that, oh, well, if he hits you, that's abuse. But we don't understand there's emotional, financial, verbal, all of these other forms of abuse that we don't know to look out for. We don't know those red flags because nobody's teaching us that, right? I ask all my clients, and this is one of the things that I had to ask myself, you know, did anybody teach you the difference between a healthy relationship versus an unhealthy relationship? And 98% of the women I work with say no. They say, no. What is a red flag? How do you know when to leave him? What is this? What is that? And so he finally broke up with me. And in that moment, I was in Atlanta. Again, I told you I was from Seattle. Right. I was in Atlanta at that time. And he broke up with me. And I remember a release coming over my body, even though I was crying my little eyes out because it hurt. I'm not gonna lie to you. It hurt. And the journey after that hurt. It hurt. I was crying, of course. And that in that moment, I changed my ticket. I think I was supposed to stay maybe 3 more days or something. I changed my flight. And there was like, I don't want to say it was an audible. I don't hear God in audibles, but it was a knowing inside my being.
Right.
God told me I will use this story. Mm. And at that moment, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, I ain't telling nobody this story. What? I'm all this embarrassment and shame. How could I? Two-parent household child. I have a great relationship with my parents. I went to Howard University. I thought I was extremely smart. So how could I end up in a relationship like this? There was so much embarrassment and shame that I had for going through something like that. And I realized one of the things that I will never do again is keep my relationship secret.
Amen.
And keep the things that I'm going through secret, because that's where the devil lives, in that secrecy and that shame. So by the way, I am a radio personality as well in the community I live in now. And for 3 months after that breakup, again, that was about end of June, early July, I didn't talk about it at all. And this was for 2 years. I was talking about this boyfriend, talking about, oh, we're in a long distance relationship. He had been on my show before. And I stopped. I just shut down, stopped talking about him. I mean, during commercial breaks, I would tell my co-host, like, I'll be right back. And I would go cry in the bathroom. It was
tough, man.
So painful.
Tough when you're hiding, right? When you're hiding from your truth, when you're hiding from yourself, you're doing yourself just so much damage.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Because when we go through something like that, we literally think we're the only one.
Yes.
We think we're so stupid. Nobody else would allow this. Mm-hmm. I can't believe.
Yes.
It's really in the trying to forgive yourself that hurts the most than really forgiving him. Like, I don't know where my ex is today. I hope he did get counseling. I hope he's, you know, God willing, he's living a better life. But it was never about him. It was always about, why would I allow this to happen to me? Like, I let myself down, right? So then I started getting a little bit more comfortable opening back up to my co-host. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite movies is Eat, Pray, Love. Have you seen that movie?
Yes. And read the book. Yes.
Yes. I haven't read the book, but that movie, I've watched that. I have the DVD, and I swear I done worn that DVD out. Now it's on Netflix though.
Yeah.
And I was watching it. I don't know why. And it sparked something in me. I said, I need to go on a solo trip. And I believe it was about October of 2017 that I ended up booking a flight to Mexico by myself, one ticket to go to Mexico for 10 days by myself, December of 2017. And I remember everybody being so scared for me, my mom, my friend, you gonna go to Mexico by yourself? Like, oh my God, like they were so scared. And I was like, yep, because I need to go listen to my own self.
Yes.
Because one of the things that my ex, again, it was verbally and emotionally abusive. Right. He would say things to me that I started to believe. Mm-hmm. He would call me names, tell me I'm sneaky, tell me I'm a cheater, liar, mm-hmm. all of these things that he would pick out in me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it goes back to my childhood and then me hearing it again, thinking that, oh, well, people get to tell me. Yeah, it must be true because people are my mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, if people get to tell me who I am when in fact that is not true. Right. So I went to Mexico and there were three questions that I asked myself. Who do I say I am? Who does God say I am? And how am I going to show up in this world from now on? Because that we're not doing that ever. That's again.
Right. That's right.
Ever. So I had to have a come to Jesus moment with myself and be like, Rika, how and why would you allow this? And how are you never going to allow this again? Right. So I went to Mexico and there were two books that I brought with me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on the beach by myself. I remember being there Christmas Day, just on the beach, like, oh, Merry Christmas. Like just in the sun, like, plus I'm a summer baby. So sun is like, my sign is crab. So I'm that water sign, right? Like I just love being on the beach. Like it brings me so much joy. Yeah. And so there, again, two books. One of the books that I brought was Gabrielle Union's We're Gonna Need More Wine. Oh, and I think yes. I had, yes.
That was yes. my shit.
Yes, exactly. Like, and I think it had came out around that time and I must have bought it at the airport. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, Gabby's book. Da, da, da. Like it wasn't, I just brought books because I thought, well, if I get bored, I guess I should read. I don't know. not knowing that it was actually going to catapult me into what I'm doing today. Mm-hmm. That book, and I read that book and I remember reading the words of Gabrielle and I was like, did Gabrielle write this book about me? I'm confused. I thought this was supposed to be about her. Wow. Like I felt seen. And that was the first moment I felt like, oh, so I'm not the only one.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Okay. So I read that book and that felt good. And then I was reading The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Mm-hmm. I had that book since I was 12 because I grew up in church, just never read it. Who listens to their parents, right? Nobody.
Nobody.
We forget that our parents have been here before. Like they're ahead of us. They're ahead of us, you know, by 20, 30 years or whatever. At least mine are. And so I'm reading this book. And in that book, Pastor Rick Warren says, your greatest shame will be the thing that heals others. Mm-hmm. That's the story God wants you to use. And remember, I had told you, I felt God tell me,
yes,
I'm going to use this story.
Yes.
And then my wheels just started turning and my business started off as a blog. And I noticed the relationship with my listeners started changing to instead of Rika, you're so funny because I'm funny. they added on things like I read your blog today and it helped me through this. Mm-hmm. I remember this one woman reaching out to me early 2018 and I printed it out and it's actually on one of my vision boards. She told me the day that her boyfriend beat her so bad that she was in the hospital, she remembered my words. And that was the day that she left him. And she was so proud of herself. And she told me it was because of me. And I was like, ah! Like, oh, what? And that got the wheels turning again. Like, okay, I've helped me. I've helped her. How can I do this bigger? How can I help more women? How can I do this on a scale, you know? And then it snowballed from there. And I got certified as a life coach and just started putting my message out there. And then I, you know, got invites to speak and obviously people reaching out to me for me to coach them. And the testimonies I've gotten I've gotten from my clients.
Yes.
One of them from one of my clients in Atlanta, actually. Mm-hmm. She told me that because of me, the generational curse that was put on her by her parents and their dysfunctional relationship stops with her. Wow. Her daughter will not have those relationships because now she knows how to talk about relationships, how to set boundaries, how to do that. And so, yeah, that is how I started to answer your first question. I know that took 30 years, but
it was necessary
for
us to understand the background and to understand where you are today and where you're headed. I mean, you know, what a story. Just the power to say, okay, he's leaving. I'm not going to beg for him to stay.
No.
I'm not going to blame him for anything right now because I really need to focus on me. I need to dig deep. I need to go to the inner side of myself where my soul is.
Yep.
Okay. And I need to get my spirit and my energy back. Now, look how you did that. You said, I'm taking 10 days and I'm going to Mexico by myself. I need to be still. I need to get my thoughts together, learn who I am again.
Yep.
You are walking through the airport and you decide to grab this book of Gabrielle Union. You're on this beach reading this book and it's like you're by yourself.
Yep.
But you have a book that is almost like a reflection of you. And that is your aha moment.
Yeah.
That is your aha moment.
Yeah. And what I felt with what Gabrielle Union did for me, I was like, I want to do that for other women. Mm-hmm. I want women to say, oh my God, I went through what Rika went through. Maybe she can give me some tools so I won't go through it again. Now, listen, I'm not saying I'm the only way to heal yourself. That I am not saying that, but you have to do something.
Right.
So whether it be the solo trip, and I've had coaches and I've had a counselor and I've had that too.
Right.
You know, obviously my story, that was basically the cliff notes. There's a lot more there, but all of us who want healing have to do the work. You have to do the work. You cannot say, I want this, but then do nothing. It's like saying, I want to lose 50 pounds, but you still eating burgers and fries.
And not working out.
You can want something.
Yes.
I guess, but to actually get that something, you have to do work. You have to do work. I had one of my clients tell me that she realized that. Like she realized what Rika is giving me is working. Mm-hmm. Thank God I'm doing the work. If I wouldn't have found her, she was like, I randomly found you on the internet. Yeah. And now I'm randomly listening to what you're telling me to do. And I'm doing it. And 3 months later, look at me. Like she was so proud of herself. The work that she had already done just in that like 3 month window. And she couldn't believe how much had changed because of the work she was doing. You know, I truly believe. So I'm a Christian and I use a lot of scripture in my pillars for my work. And one of the scriptures that says, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what I do for clients. I give you a different way of thinking about relationships because again, some of these tools and things and tricks we were not given to growing up simply because, and this is not to throw any of our parents under the bus. My parents are baby boomers. My dad's about to be 69 in February. Oh, you really think he was talking to me about relationships?
Wow. But they're still young parents.
Yeah. Oh, I love my parents. My parents they were the most fun and they did give me a Christian foundation. But I think that my parents thought that I was smart enough to figure it out. They probably thought, well, she'll see a happy marriage because my parents are still married over 40, probably almost 50 years now.
Wow.
Beautiful relationship. But they never sat me down and said, okay, this is how you get X, Y, and Z. Because again, I think they thought I was smart enough, which in most ways I was, but there were some areas obviously that unfortunately I struggled in, which now I believe was for a reason because it has given me my purpose. So here I am.
See that? So, I mean, just hearing you speak about your purpose, everything that we experience in life, it's not by chance.
Right.
It's really not. You were chosen to go through this for a reason. And although when it's happening, we're in the thick of it, we don't see it. It's when you get to the other side, you see it. And a lot of people don't want to take the leap of faith and get to the other side.
Yep.
They'd rather just sit in it, right?
Yeah.
What do you say to your clients that come to you and they've been sitting in it for years?
Yeah.
How do you make that help them make that transformation?
Yeah. Well, one of the first things we do in Single You Academy, whether you're doing group, so I have group coaching and I have one-on-one. So it depends on, do you need a little bit more hand holding or not? Mm-hmm. But one of the first things we do is we figure out who you are. I take them through a lot of tests, a lot of worksheets and workbooks. And there's a particular book that we read to get you to that point of understanding why you would do that. Because there's a reason why. There's a reason why. My reason, for example, was, so I don't know if you could tell, but I'm talkative, right? Like God gave me the gift of gab. And so since I've started school, and my teachers didn't mean this, and this is not to throw them under the bus, but I kept getting messages that, Rika, you're too much. Go sit out in the hall, go sit in the corner. You need to go to the principal's office. I'm calling your parents. So, I mean, literally on every report card, it says, you know, Rika's a great girl, but she just talks too much. So I learned in my little brain, little Rika learned that I need to morph into whoever this person wants me to be for them to love me. Cause I just want to be loved. Like a 6-year-old, me at 6 was just like, but I just like talk, like you can't help it at 6. Right. And so unfortunately, the things that you go through, you know, psychologists say like the ages 1 through 3, you know, birth to 7 most is like, those are the most impressionable pivotal ages. And nobody meant to do it. You know, if teachers knew that, they probably would not, because I have very lovely teachers. But I learned that, oh, whoever you want me to be, I need to be, which then when I started dating, whoever you want me to be, I need to be.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's definitely the breakdown of figuring out your whys first. You got to figure that out first. Why would you allow somebody to treat you with disrespect? Respect should be just the minimum, right?
The minimum.
Who sings that thing? Who is that? That's a song.
It is a song.
Lauryn Hill. There we go. Yes. And she's so right. Respect should just be the minimum. You don't get praised and like, I'm not automatically going to love you just because you respect me. That's just the minimum.
That's the basics.
Right? That's okay. That's great human stuff. Good for you. So now let's try to build off of that. So that's where I want my clients to be. Like you, this is just the minimum. I'm not even going to ask for this. So if I notice that you're not giving it, then we just not going to be in a relationship.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
You see how you can pinpoint that right away? Boom. You got
it. Yeah.
Let me ask you, you did state that a lot of the things that we as women subject ourselves to, it has to come somewhere deep down from our past. Mm-hmm. It's something that just did not come about.
Right.
It's something that made it seem okay for us to accept.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, because I'm going to tell you why. I never thought I would allow someone to put their hands on me.
Yeah.
I never thought I would allow someone to speak to me in a derogatory way, or let me just put it out there and spin it, that I would speak to someone in a derogatory way, or yeah. I would hit below the belt, or I would try to strip them of something. That comes from something.
Yeah.
How do you tap in to making someone feel comfortable that they can be open enough to reveal that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we spoke about shame. You said there's a lot of us, and there is a lot of us, and I'm speaking to myself.
Yeah.
Carry that shame from back then.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you asking, how do I make my clients comfortable speaking to me?
What I'm asking you is, I find even with some of my clients, it takes a good month for them to really open up.
Mm.
And once they do, then it's a stage of crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then a stage of saying, so you think I'm crazy, right? You think there's something wrong with me. And it's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I've actually been there.
Yeah.
And I try not to go too deep into what I'm going, well, what I have gone through, because it's not about me. It's about the client.
Yeah.
You're looking like you can. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. No, my especially my one-on-one clients, because I see them every week. Mm-hmm. They definitely, there's some tears of like, I can't believe I allowed, cause we're going to pull that stuff back up. Right. Like some of my clients may be fresh out of relationships, mm-hmm. maybe 2 years removed. I actually have a client who's separated right now and she's going to be filing for a divorce here soon. Now I'm not the girl who tells them to break up with, I would actually prefer not to coach married women.
Right.
But she was like, no, I need you. I promise you, I'm not here to ask you if you want me to break up with him. I already know it's over. I just got to figure out how to discover my worth, because that's what I help my clients do. Right. And so I believe that I help them remove their shame because I share. Our stories are powerful. Mm-hmm. So if they are already in my DMs and have already seeked me.
Right.
Because I'm not the girl who's, it's not, I don't reach out to women. I let them come to me. So if you're already seeking me, there was something about me mm-hmm. and my story that resonated with you. And I often ask them, in fact, that's like my first or second question when they do slide into my DMs or send me an email or what have you. And they're like, hey, I think I want some coaching. I always say, what did I say that resonated with you? Mm-hmm. And then that just gets the ball rolling. And I let them, you know, women who are hurting, people who are hurting, the moment that they find somebody to talk to, they gonna open up. They're going to bleed it all out. Okay. I'm comfortable. And like you said, as the weeks go on, you just learn out a little, you learn a little bit more. But when they get to the point where they like really got flat footed in who they are and now what they need to do to never be in a relationship like that again, it is so rewarding. Like, I know you find this, Andrea, like, isn't this the best, like, it is so rewarding. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for letting me find my purpose and trusting me with your daughters. Yes. Me? Oh yes. My God. Like, it is like, it's mind blowing. The work, the things that I hear from my clients, mm-hmm. it is so beautiful. And it's the things that I said to me when I, you know, went on my journey and process of healing. And I thank my older self. Yeah, mm-hmm. She was in that relationship, but she was also the same girl who said, okay, we're not doing this again.
That's right.
We're not doing this again.
Change it around.
Yeah. And it's like, now I'm in 2021 and the progress and growth that not only have I had, my business, and then my clients, it is just a beautiful thing.
It's amazing to get to the other side. And now that you are on the other side and a lot of your clients are getting on the other side.
Yeah.
What is with your podcast? I want you to talk more to me about your podcast.
Yeah.
What is that like for your clients, you know, hearing? Because I sometimes go through this. I don't know if you do, but with my clients, they sometimes say, are you going to talk about anything that we've ever done? I said, I would never do that. Like, I would never talk about anything that is pertaining to you. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure those boundaries are never crossed? And how do you make sure to keep it separate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. They already know, like, I may share a story.
Right.
That sounds like theirs. I will never use their name.
Right.
Unless they give me permission. There have been a few women who, we've done a Zoom call where I've recorded their testimony and they were fine. They were like, yes, please use it. I need other women to hear about this. But for the most part, most of them don't, because it's a journey that you need to go on your own. And maybe 5 years from now, they'll say, I had this coach, or 3 years from now. And some of them are telling their friends. Some of them are like, my friend needs you and she's going to sign up next time the doors to Single You Academy opens up, which I love. I've gotten a lot of referrals from that way. But yeah, I'm definitely not going to ever put them on blast. Right. What I focus on my podcast mm-hmm. is conversations like this.
Right.
Because again, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want women who aren't even my clients to hear other women who have gone through the same thing or similar, may not be, you know, we all have similar stories, especially when it has to do with just the bucket of relationships and dysfunctional relationships and abuse and stuff. The story can be similar, even though some of the big points are different. But I want you to hear, because again, I felt like I was the only one. You felt like you were the only one. So I want them to hear these stories of women and men. I have some men coming up as well. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the what I wish the church taught single women will be with my pastor, who is a male. And we're going to break that down, because again, these were not conversations that the millennial. So I'm a millennial. I'm 37. Mm-hmm. That the millennial and younger, we didn't have those with our parents. But I think millennials, in fact, I know this, and articles have been written about this, we are more open to sharing our stories than the baby boomer generation and the forgotten generation, which I think is Gen X or something. Yep. But they never, because you got to remember, the baby boomer generation is coming off the edge of where women had to be married to have a credit card, house, yep, whatever, or you was really a spinster or a cat lady or, yep, shunned or whatever. So that their parents were that. So my grandma had to be married to my grandpa, right, in order to have the house. And they had the funny thing is, and the fortunate thing for me is, I don't know divorce. Both of my grandparents died, you know, married to each other. And then, you know, my parents are still married, but they still never had those conversations, especially not my Alabama Southern Baptist Christian. You just pray about it, sweep it under the rug, grandpa.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. Like, you know, so they're coming off that, but millennials, I saw a meme that cracked me up, because I was like, this is so true. It was like baby boomer generation. We don't talk about it. We just pray about it. Something millennial gen. And then it was like millennial generation. You know what my therapist told me today, girl.
And it's so true. It's so true. And you know what? It's a good thing.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
They broke the chains. They broke the cycle. And is that not what it's about?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so proud of us that we were just like, you know what? This holding it in kind of stuff.
Ain't working.
Right. Because if Gabrielle Union hadn't shared her story, and she's a little bit older than my generation.
Yeah, we're in the same age because I'm 44.
Okay. Yeah. I think she's 45.
Yeah.
So if she hadn't shared, I wouldn't have felt comfortable to share. If I hadn't shared, then, you know, you never know who's watching me and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's just like in our sharing, mm-hmm, the more comfortable we actually become with each other. Now, if we can just get the men to do the same, Lord have mercy.
Lord, if we can get the men to do the same. I got to tell you, I have 44%, or maybe Ty, I think 49% of men listen to my podcast.
Mm.
And I say to myself, boy, you know, men have a hard time expressing themselves.
Yeah.
And they, yeah, also have a hard time coming to grips if they were abused, if they saw, yeah, abuse. It's something, yeah, really just they carry.
Yeah.
And it bothers me because I see it in certain relationships. And I say to myself, God, if you could just release it.
Right. Yeah. Because let's be honest. My ex, it's not like he wanted to be that way, right?
Right.
He had a lot of childhood demons that he was working through as well. And that was part of the reason why I fell for his story. And you know how women, we're nurturers.
Yes.
And I don't have any kids.
No, but nature, that's who we are.
Yeah, by nature, mm-hmm, we're nurturers, right? So I saw a wounded dog on the street and was like, oh, I could take care of him. Mm-hmm. And so I understand, mm-hmm, that his reaction towards me, mm-hmm, wasn't because he was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna abuse Rika today. Right. He was hurting, mm-hmm, and hurt people, right?
Right?
And so now I look back and I totally understand that. And that's why I'm like, I send him love and light, and I hope that he has gotten help, mm-hmm, and has figured that out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I know that cycle for him has continued. If he hasn't, you know, I mean, at that point he had two kids. I hope he doesn't have any more, you know, by two different women and stuff. And those relationships were terrible, right, and volatile and stuff. So yeah. So I totally, understand, not to say that it's right. Cause it's never right.
It's not right. It's not right.
Right. You are not responsible for what happened to you in your childhood, but you are responsible once you get older to get that healed, mm-hmm, especially with all of these resources out here now. This is 2021, no excuses. But now I know when to spot that so much sooner. Oh, he ain't fine. Like the red flags and stuff, they go off ding 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 ding. I can see them a mile away. And that's what I teach in Single You Academy as well, because if you can spot that early and just get out a month in, 2 months in, then we're not going to have these long 2, 3, 5 year abusive relationships. We can just be like, no, and understand that you are not a bad person because right. you chose not to be with him.
Right.
We're allowed to make that choice. We are allowed. We are not a rehabilitation center for a man.
That's right.
And as Ayanna Van Zant explains it, she goes, you know what? You don't get to tell people how to love you. You get to see how they are loving and then make a choice to be loved by that person. That's what it is. And so sometimes we get trapped in, oh, but you know, that's okay. I see his potential. And if he just changes X, Y, Z, or just does this thing or be, you know, but, or just listens to me, then we'll have the best relationship. He'll be the best man. And no judgment. I was there. That's how I know. and so, yeah, I know, man, I see that red flag and I'm like, nope.
Walk nope. away. Yeah. Not going for it. It's amazing to see how you see yourself in the mirror. Right? How you love on yourself, how you value yourself. That's what a lot of women, unfortunately, is what's it's missing. I always say this, you know, I said, we put on, you know, the braids, the weave, the hair, whatever, your natural hair, your makeup, your clothes, the outfit, the car, the career. But at the end of the day, is it your truth? Right? We want to pretend, but it takes so much, because I've done it. It takes so much energy to pretend and just be who the hell you are with your flaws.
Yeah. And you're not going to be able to hold that up.
But for so long.
Sorry, my dogs are barking.
Okay, it's fine.
Even the actors in a stage play, they go cut the scenes in at some moment. Nobody is happy playing a role in their own life. Oof. You have to be who you are. You have to, that's a disrespect to God, slap in the face. Oh, I'm not going to be who you made me.
Right.
I'm going to be this, I'm going to be Andrea instead of Rika.
Yeah.
Like, it don't make no sense. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about what you plan to do in the next year. I know you're talking about doing this book, which I'm excited to read. I don't want you to dive into it because it's your book and it should, you know, be told when you're ready, but I'm just curious, is it a memoir?
I could talk about it because it's done. I'm just in the editing process and then I'm going to go the Amazon route of publishing it on Amazon and stuff. But so the book is called Sis, Don't Date That Guy. And because I'm a radio personality, and over the past 7 years, mm-hmm. I've been on a morning show.
Okay.
And in the mornings, I had a segment on my show mm-hmm. where you could ask me questions. And all, you know, most of our questions in life, as the Eat, Pray, Love movie says, are always about relationships. Like,
yes.
Oh my God. Because they're so consequential to our life, which is amazing that. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you know where to go to do that. But where do you go when you want to be in love? Like, where do you go for heart work? Like, people don't know that, right?
Right.
And so I had all of those letters. Mm. And so it's really a collection of those stories as well as, and I break down why you shouldn't date him or things to look out for. And also my story. So I tell the story about my abusive ex and my $10,000 boyfriend. I do have a boyfriend, unfortunately, who cost me $10,000. Girl, listen.
Wow.
And that lesson came after my abusive ex. And I know why. God needed me to see that one more time. Like, sweetheart, follow what I told you and you wouldn't be in this mess. And I didn't follow God because I was still in the healing process. And my ex at that time, my $10,000 boyfriend was actually my college ex-boyfriend. My first love, first everything.
He was able
to weasel his way back in, never again. But so I recount those stories and where I went wrong in hopes to help you either not do it again or never do it. So it depends on if you're 15 or 22 and you pick it up. Hopefully you haven't been through that yet. Right. And you'll have a little bit, you'll have more tools than I had at 22.
You'll have 25. A head start, girlfriend.
One of my clients right now, she's 20 and I'm so freaking proud of her. I was like, girl, listen.
Wow.
If I had me at 20, what?
I always say that. You know, yeah. I always say that had I the knowledge I have today at 44, had I had that knowledge at 17, 19, 24, life would be different.
Yeah.
It would be different.
Yeah. It would be. It would be. But I didn't know to ask the questions. I had my parents, but I didn't know to ask the questions. I didn't know. I should have, you know, but when you're 15, you're not talking to your parents about love and sex for what?
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up in an era where, you know, my mom is 75 and my dad passed away a couple of years ago at 79.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I grew up in that time where we didn't talk about those things. We didn't talk about those things. That sex didn't, none of those conversations ever happened.
Yeah.
The conversation happened that you shouldn't have sex until you're married. I heard that part. I read the scripture.
right. That part. But that's what we're forgetting. And that's why I'm excited to have this conversation with my pastor, because we're forgetting the why and then how to do it.
And then also,
even if you don't, you're not going to hell.
Okay.
So you just disregard him dying on the cross for us. Him, her, whatever you want to call it, Jesus, you know, whatever. But so I'm excited for this conversation because, again, I wish at 15, my youth pastor would have been like, all right, we doing a workshop on sex and let's talk about it, you know, because like sex and dating is this weird thing that all humans do that nobody talks about. It's so weird to me.
I mean, my mom is a Jehovah's Witness. So I mean, I grew up with just the religion. I grew up, you know, with my dad not really being, you know, around in and out. And my mom had six of us, right?
Yeah.
So it's just maintaining the household, six children. But it's a conversation I've always had with her. And I would always say, sometimes I see religion can really take over a home.
Yeah.
And not allow you guys to actually just be parents.
Yeah.
Just be parents, because there are real life situations that your children are dealing with. And you're reading me a scripture that I understand the behind it, but it's not to what I'm dealing with today.
Yeah.
As your daughter.
Yeah. Right?
So I'm glad I'm waiting to hear. I can't wait to hear this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm going to join in listening in. How do you talk to your kids and use the Bible for every type of situation instead of just talking to your kids about what they are dealing with?
Yeah. They didn't know. They were just on what their parents, you know, taught them and what they've learned. And so, you know, they didn't know. They didn't know. That's why I'm really proud of our, you know, of our generations, like really just being like, hold on. I have a question.
That don't sound right to me.
Right. You know, or how do I apply this to real life?
Yes.
So you're so right. Religion. And I won't even say that was my home. My parents were, like I said, they were fun. But it was really just about Bible study and going to church. The conversations were not had that deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of them were, I'm sure there's some things that I forgot. I mean, I'll tell you this. My dad, he's such a jokester. Speaking of my dog's name being Thor, I love Avengers and all that because of my dad. Like, I'm watching Superman at three. Like, he was about that. That was my boyfriend at three. Right? So my dad was like, and I must have been like 12, 13, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was like, okay, so you're going to keep your drawers up and your dress down. Okay.
No, he did not.
It's okay. And I, you know, and I wish at 12 or however old I was, I wish I knew to say, okay, well, what does that mean?
You don't even know how to respond to something like that. Wow. Wow.
I love my dad, but yeah.
So. That was dad's way of telling you, you know, keep
thinking. Be careful.
Yeah.
He tried. Bless his heart.
what's amazing is I see the glow in your face when you talk about your parents.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me when I see certain women, I say, somebody's going to scoop her up like this. But as you speak and as you say, I don't know where we clearly got this from back in the days. This whole idea of being married, having kids, the white picket fence. It's all, I hate to say this, and sometimes I try not to use this language, but it's just not true. It's mm-hmm. so false. It's selling this false narrative that will never be, because I've been married for a very long time and divorced. Okay. Yeah. And yeah. so I will just tell you that it takes work in marriages, right? And you are bringing two people together that have two different beliefs, that were raised two different ways, and then you put them together, you expect it to work, and then you have children and add to the chaos.
Right, right.
A lot. And I just wish women out there would understand there is nothing wrong with you being a single woman. There is nothing wrong with you saying, you know what, I choose me, and if you're not coming correct to me, I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's okay, you don't have to settle.
Yeah.
Because majority of women and men, both ways, settle.
Oh, hello. That's why there's 51% divorce rates. Because people latch on to this Disney idea of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you brought this up. So it is my intention to help women understand Paul's teaching in the Bible about singleness. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 7 and 8, Paul says it is actually better to be single. Mm-hmm. And I'm paraphrasing because the whole Corinthians
speaks
on that. There's beauty in marriage. There's beauty in singleness.
That's right.
We don't see the beauty in singleness. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, we lost that.
Yep.
We lost that. Mm-hmm. Jesus was single. So what are we talking about?
Okay.
And done. We can end the conversation there.
Okay.
Jesus was single. Drop mic out of there.
That's it.
And he changed the whole world.
Being a single man.
And so, unfortunately, because of the way the laws were set up 70 years ago, you know, for our grandparents and before them.
Right.
That is where I believe we lost it, because the laws made us have to be married in order to survive this world. But thanks to people like, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, rest in peace, Gloria Steinem, who's still alive today. Those women for Shirley Chisholm. Shirley Chisholm. And I want to throw some black women in there. but even though they weren't really allowed to back then either. And I'm sure there's countless and countless of women that we don't even know about. We haven't heard those stories yet.
Right.
But thank God for them for dropping a little seed in the water. And they may have made a little ripple, but we were able to pick that up and keep going. But that is where we lost it, because of the laws, because of religion that made us less than.
Yes.
So what they taught us back then is that you are only worthy if you're married.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Singleness is a punishment. You can't get a house. You can't live your life unless you are married.
You know, I want to say to all the listeners listening to us today, and I hope you hit this on replay a couple of times, all you women out there that hold up your wedding rings, your wedding bands, your trophy husbands as, "I have won." No, you have not. Because if you need a marriage to make you feel whole, and you need a marriage to co-sign your whole existence, then we have a whole nother problem that we have to address that has nothing to do with that man and has everything to do with you and whatever daddy issues you have or whatever it is that you saw in your life that made you feel that you are not important until you have that.
Yeah. You know, I had to talk to a group of teenagers and young women at a church right before our lockdown. So I think it was probably early February of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Listen, sweethearts, I get it. Because growing up in this Christian world, especially in this small town that I live in, which is 3 hours outside of Seattle, God willing, I'm moving at the end of this year. God willing. Y'all pray for me. Pray." Okay, when you're listening to this episode, it could be 2025. Just say, "I hope that girl done moved." Pray.
You will.
But, right, exactly. I will. I said, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're growing up, especially in this environment, small town, then you add on top of that religion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who gets engaged at 18 and 19 you see them and they're getting celebrated. They get the showers. Oh my God, Rachel just got engaged to Todd, pop the question. And it's a celebration, right? Where you, after you graduate from high school, if you didn't get that yet in this small town, in this religious town, that is when the celebrations of you stop.
Yes.
And if you're lucky, maybe you'll go to college and you'll get one more. Okay. The last time my whole family was together to celebrate me was 2006, May 2006, when I graduated from the Howard University. And that was it. Exactly. And that was it. So when I see my cousins that I babysat, mm-hmm. that are now getting married and having kids, mm-hmm. sometimes, yeah, I can feel like life is passing me by, especially because they're still getting celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. With their milestones and their babies and their weddings and this and that, where y'all done stopped when I turned 21. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. And I told them that story. And I said, but I want you to hold on to this. Mm-hmm. And this is not a knock on anybody's marriage or to hope that they get a divorce. But by the time you're 30, they will be divorced.
True.
I promise you. True. I promise you that will happen.
Right.
And you will be happy if you focus on your purpose, mm-hmm. on your relationship with God. You will get to the end of your 20s and go, you know what? I'm glad I waited. It was worth it. Mm-hmm. Because what I know at 37, what I'm sure you know, Andrea, mm-hmm. all of my friends that did get married when we were young are now divorced. Except for I can think of my best friend Darnell and his wife, and I love them to death. And so that is not a knock on marriage. I still believe in marriage. God willing, if God brings me a husband, great. If he doesn't, great.
Right.
I just have the mindset that I'm dating from the seat of singleness is not a punishment. And let me retract that. I'm actually not dating. I haven't dated for 2 years because there's nothing more important. I'm celibate and everything, girl. Woo. Exactly. Like,
Thank you.
Right. New Year's, the clock struck midnight, and really my anniversary was December, but I celebrated by myself in this house that I own.
That's right.
Celebrated that. Like, yo, I made it 2 years without even paying attention to a guy.
Wow.
So, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to. So now maybe we'll see. But again, I live in a small town, so it'll probably be after I move. But I sit from the seat of singleness is not a punishment, and there's beauty in marriage and in being single.
Well, you heard it here from the queen. I mean, okay. I mean, this is not my lane. This is her lane. And she definitely owns this lane because it is spent nothing but gems over here. And I'm taking it in and I'm saying, damn, why weren't you around when I was younger? That's because you're younger than me.
I know. That's why I be looking at me like, where was you when I was 15?
But you know, it's never too late to receive the knowledge. And I feel so honored for you to come on this show today. I cannot wait to read the book. I mean, I really see you. Oof, oof. Bestseller list, like out there,
because
it's so needed, especially today, where we really feel like I need someone in my life to see every day to make me happy.
Yeah,
you're changing that narrative. Like, no, you see yourself in that mirror that makes you happy, and giving women the tools, right, that they can actually use, right, and holding them, teaching them how to be accountable, right. Not shame on you, the person who you was in a relationship with. No, shame on me, right? Because I'm an adult and I just have to make better choices.
Yep.
That's what I got from this conversation with you today. And I'm just, you got to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And as you continue to grow and get higher, I don't know how you keep your schedule. I can only imagine how booked your schedule is. But what do you do to center yourself after pouring into us, after pouring into so many women and men? What do you do?
Listen,
get back.
Yes. And I received you saying that my schedule is booked. I am praying on that. Yes, I do have clients, and yes, I do work with my clients, and I have my schedule. But yes, that is the prayer. And my quote for this year, because I've done quotes since 2018, mm-hmm. my quote for this year is obedience and strategy is my job. Mm-hmm. Outcome is God. Mm-hmm. And I'm already successful because of the growth that I've had, the growth that my clients have had. Mm-hmm. Now that financial success is coming, but how I keep, and I am making money and I'm good. I was able to quit full-time radio. Now I'm just part-time. But I can't wait till I can be done with radio altogether. Right. But so how I keep myself, and I feel like God has been working on me with this since September. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading the book of Exodus right now and Moses' story and saving his people mm-hmm. and how many times God told them to rest.
Yes.
Sit down somewhere.
And be still.
Right. Be still and know that I am God. And even when he said to Moses, when he was like, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let your people go. And Moses was scared because he stuttered and he was like, God, what will I say? And God said, I'm sorry. Did I not make your mouth? Do not worry about what you will say. I will give you the words. And so I rest on that. Even before I started talking with you, I always say that prayer before every time I speak, like, because I do have notes, especially when I'm doing a speech, but I know my story and I just kind of rest on God giving me the words. Right. And so my first 3 hours of my day mm-hmm. are reading, meditating. I mean, and I'm reading the Bible and some books. I'm reading an Ayanna Van Zandt book right now. I'm also reading Sex, Jesus, and What the Church Forgot to Tell Us. I meditate and then I work out. And then like my business hours are between 1 and 6.
Okay.
Am I perfect at it every day? Absolutely not. I would be sitting here lying to you. Sometimes I'd be on my phone till 8. I'd be like, you said you was going to stop at 6. So yeah, I have, now I'm getting better. I said, January 1st, I'm going to get better at what Jesus is asked, at what I feel God is asking me to do. And I heard Pastor Darius Daniel say this, the window between God's instruction and your obedience needs to get smaller this year. And I was like, yes, God. Okay, fine. So I definitely, because I don't want to, God is trusting me with his daughters. I don't want to mess that up. So I have to keep feeding myself and I have to execute what I am telling you to execute as my client. So I'm very proud of myself. I'm, what are we, 11 days in to 12 days into 2021. I've been fasting all year. So I'm on the Daniel fast and just praying, and it'll just be for January for the fast. But I really want to hone in and listen to that. And so a lot of rest and I have to do it, because that anxiety about where are these clients coming from, God, is real. And I don't want to have that fear and anxiety anymore, because it's either do I believe truly what Jesus has said to me or not?
Yeah. Well, Rika, it has been amazing to have you on the show, Our Marriage Reflections. You have enlightened me in so many levels. You have me thinking, you have the wheels going. And I want you to tell the listeners, where can they find you? If they want to hire you, where they can find you, what's your website, what's the name of your podcast? How could people find you?
Perfect. So luckily, everything is pretty much named the same. Okay. So this should be really easy. But my website is singlethe-you.com. So if you just go there, you'll hear my story. You'll read about Single You Academy, which is my 12-week online group coaching program. So I have clients from North Carolina, Atlanta, New York, Jersey, Washington State, California. So it doesn't matter where you live. We live in an online world now. Mm-hmm. So that's the group coaching. And you will also see information about my one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So reach out to me. Instagram, I am just me, Rika, and that's R-E-K-A. So just remember, Eureka. And if you don't have Instagram, you can also reach out to me via email. And that's Rika@justmerika.com. And I actually have a 7-day free trial right now. It's closing at the end of January for the free trial, because then I'll be opening up group again. But 7-day free trial for my Single You Academy mini is available right now. And there's 3 things you're going to learn in that workshop: how to get over him and move on and heal, the top 3 boundaries you should have with men, and also how to discover your worth. I have 3 questions that'll help you start that journey. So if you want that Single You Academy mini, again, hit me on Instagram or via the email if you don't have Instagram. I'm here. I'm just waiting for you. I'm here.
Make those phone calls. I mean, listen, I know the phones are going to be ringing. I know this is going to be an amazing podcast because it's real, it's authentic, and there's a lot of women that needed to hear this. So I'm honored. I want to thank you so much, so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with me. And I can't wait to see what's next for you.
And I, you know what, and this is not the last you're going to hear me. We are going to work together. I want to add you to my accountability group with Kay, as you know.
Yes.
So I thank you for just picking up this stranger and saying, I need to have her message on my podcast. I really appreciate you.
Nothing strange. It's all about the energy. I got to tell you, from the time Kay spoke about you, I just was like, and then I went and I started doing her. I said, she's amazing. She's amazing. And she's taking her story and she's changing lives with it. So I'm honored. It's a blessing. And I look forward to having you back on the show, of course, when the book comes out.
Yes, yes. Okay? Yes,
it will be coming out. Perfect. And hopefully we'll all be out of this COVID-19. Fingers crossed, prayers to God that we have learned and we will get our situation together.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. Oh, and I forgot. I know you asked me about my podcast.
Yes,
Easy,
tell me.
Single You, the podcast. See, everything's named the same. It's either Just Me Rico or Single You. So Single You, the podcast as well. Available on streaming platforms.
We will be following you and let's connect. We're going to connect with Kay.
Awesome.
Night.